Well, this morning, I just basically want you to sit back and listen to the Word of God speak about this most extraordinary and most important event, the resurrection of Christ. I pray by the end of this time, when I ask this question, do you believe, you can know wholeheartedly in your heart that you do. This is Easter. He is risen. God raised Christ from the dead according to the Scriptures. But at this particular moment, everyone knew he had been dead. From the governor, to the executing soldiers, to the priests who buried him, to the women who on this day were planning on placing spices upon the body of a dead man. And last of all, the religious leaders who concocted a story about his disciples stealing the body of Jesus right out under the noses of the temple guards, trying to assuade people from thinking that somehow he was resurrected. They knew he had died on Friday, and by now they knew he had risen. Just as it had been prophesied. And he was alive on Sunday. Behold, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened, all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said to them, "Tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if it comes to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this very day. Interesting. Many of the Jewish histories, 60, 70, and 80 years later, recount the same story, but they recount it as a lie perpetrated by the leaders. A lie. So it didn't work. People don't risk their lives for self-made falsehoods. For he is risen. The body was not in the tomb. Remember, the stone was 1 to 1.5 tons, had been rolled away, and his body was no longer there. If it had been there, then the religious elite could have used it as testimony against the resurrection. But the body wasn't there. Because he is risen. And after he rose, he met with the disciples for over 40 days, talking to them about the kingdom of God. And during that time, he appeared to individuals, and he appeared to groups. Up to 500 people at one time. We see the boldness of the disciples risking their lives, preaching that Jesus was alive. And by his power alone, men, women, boys, and girls could be healed and were healed and were forgiven their sins. Then we have Peter's sermons in Acts 2 and in Acts 3. One, he says this in Acts 2, God raised him up. God raised Jesus, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Then he looks at the leaders and says, you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Then shortly after that, there's the martyrdom of Stephen and James. People don't die for a lie because they preached the living Lord, the resurrecting Lord, and the kingdom of God. Then Paul speaks to the Romans, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. So because of his resurrection, the fear we have of death is done away with. It does not have a hold over us any longer if we are in him. His resurrection proves our resurrection. Then to the Corinthians, an even clearer teaching. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to me, and to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. We see this same message throughout Paul's writings. We see this message in Peter's writings. Years later, just before his martyrdom, he's still preaching and teaching this message. He says he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. He is risen. And because He is risen, we have faith and we have hope. It's a simple message that men try to convolute, to add to. But it's a simple message. This is the message of Easter. The message of new life. The message of eternal life. Jesus didn't mean to complicate it. That's why there's very few sections of Scripture that are at all complicated. Oh, they seem that way if the Spirit's not giving you an encouragement and enlightenment. But they're not. In the resurrection, divine power held complete sway. Remember what Jesus said. For this is the reason the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. And even Paul would say again to the Ephesians, about this power. What is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He has worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places? And then one of my favorite passages within the letter to the Hebrews. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the glory that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand at the throne of God. He is risen. And His resurrection assures all of His Father's and all of His future work on behalf of His people. Because of His authority and rule over all the earth, He could say just before He left, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Can't be clearer who's in charge than that. Because of His resurrection, His priestly intercession for His own continues every day, all day long, interceding on our behalf before the Father. And because of that resurrection, we know that He's protecting and comforting. That presence of Him will be with us even to the end of the age. He says that Himself. I am with you always to the end of the age. Do we forget these simple terms, these simple statements? We certainly don't live like that often enough. With that assurance, he is risen. Take note to the commitment, to the confession of our little ones. He is risen. And his resurrection secures all the blessings he obtained for us in his death and resurrection. The resurrection also vindicates the sufficiency of the cross and seals the certainty of our justification by faith alone. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. See, it's not just Martin Luther or John Calvin that talks about justification. Paul talks about it a lot. But that's what Jesus did for us. So the resurrection is for us, personally and corporately. As we're told, for if we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Jesus' resurrection guarantees ours. The scriptures make that abundantly clear. Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, calls us sons and daughters of resurrection. And then in Revelation 20, we are told, over such, that is, over God's elect, the second death has no power. But Jesus assured us so well with this simple statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Whomever believes in me shall surely never die. Again, it's hard not to understand that statement unless we try not to. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me surely will never die. But he doesn't stop there. He asks a simple question after that. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe the absolute certainty of that statement, that he is the resurrection and the life, and all who believe in him will not die but have eternal life? That's the issue on this this Easter morning. Do we believe this? You know, every historical fact, whether it's the resurrection or who shot John Kennedy, can be doubted. All the evidence can point to it. All of it's helpful. All of it's supportive. Just like we've seen here, the reliability of the many witnesses that saw Christ after he raised from the dead, the boldness of the preaching and teaching of the apostles and others, knowing that their life was in their hands, the futility of the opposition, because no matter how many they killed, that many more was raised up to do the same thing, to preach the kingdom, the power of the gospel to save, the coherence of the message from beginning to end. All of that is helpful and supportive. But the question still boils down to, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do we believe his word? This is the bottom line this Easter. I hopefully have shown you through the scriptures in this short message that the scripture is on fire with the sufficient proof of Jesus' resurrection. There's very few people, thinking people, that disagree that he did, in fact, resurrect. There's a lot of people that deny, but it's a historical fact. But do we believe that he resurrected? Do we believe that he is the resurrection and the life? Today, we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
But do we believe? Pray with me. Father God, thank you so much for this word. Thank you for how you continue to convict us, to challenge us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to send us forth with the absolute truth of God to the world around us. Father, we rejoice in your presence with us. We rejoice in the Spirit's work upon us, in us, and through us. And we give thanks that he is risen. In Jesus' name, amen.